Chalk Chat Freestyle for Sunday, August 25th, 2013. Dog Days of Podcasting. And this is, oh boy, we're getting down to the wire now for the Dog Days, aren't we? Because it is the 25th. And, well, the party is pretty much over. I apologize for, let me back up a little bit. I apologize for not having one out on Saturday. I had predated that. I recorded on Friday and thought I was going to post on Saturday. But unfortunately, it triggered on Friday. So you got your early edition. You got two Silicon Roads. So we're calling it even since I'm doing some of these two times a day. Anyway, this is the Sunday edition. We'll call it even. And I'm going to give you both in one here real quick because there isn't a whole lot to do in the Dog Days or in the Silicon Road. I mentioned the party is over. The anniversary party is pretty much over. There's just a couple of relatives left in town. We're going to have a backyard fire tonight and just kind of enjoy it. It's very humid and hot right now, so it'll take a while for the temps to cool down and do a fire. We had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Friday night's party at the Grand Meridian Hall was great. We had about 130 people there. Lots of fun. The band was excellent. Good call by Donna for remembering that from a friend's wedding a few years ago. They did a great job. We had a friend from church who does photography. We had him as our photographer all weekend for Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. Saturday night's ball game. The home team lost, but we still had fun. One thing that I did not expect was how much time I was going to spend doing stuff during these events. Like Friday night, I got to the hall and had to set up and put things on the tables and get things laid out. Fortunately, one of Donna's friends had showed up and helped out. So we got, you know, the matches out and the napkins out and the wine bottles on the table and, talk to the band and get the game plan down with them. And then as people were coming in, shaking hands and whatnot, I really didn't eat, until like everyone else had eaten. And then the same kind of thing at the ball game. We had expected that we would kind of have exclusive use of the club level. And when I walked in, there were 30 or so people already there that were not part of our party. And then when the photographer came in, he said, how do we know which ones are ours and which ones are not ours? Because he doesn't know everybody. I know everybody, but he doesn't. So we encouraged people to wear name tags, and that would help him take pictures. But as people were coming in, I'd say, okay, hold on to your tag, your tickets in case you got to go downstairs and come back up. Your ticket is good for two free drinks at the bar. The food is out here. Won't be an all-night buffet, so please eat by 7 o'clock because they're going to put the food away up at 7 o'clock. Blah, 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 blah. Then the next person would come along, and I'd tell them the same thing. Oh, we're encouraging people but not forcing people to use name tags so you can socialize, and Bob the photographer knows who to take pictures of. And I did that spiel about 40 times. And then the food was almost gone. It was darn near 7 o'clock. So I probably had a plate in my hand for 20 minutes, and then I finally got a chicken sandwich on the plate, and I got one bite out of it, and then do four or five more people, grab some name tags, run back and forth. I finally got to sit down and wolf down my sandwich and corn on the cob and then back up and start socializing. Hey, you need anything else? The food's about to be taken away. It was crazy. I think it was like the bottom of the third inning before I even got to see any of the game. And of course, I didn't sit around and watch the game. I was talking to the guests and moving and mixing and getting some pictures here and there. It was a lot of fun, but it was a different experience than I expected. It was great. We also had some time yesterday. Some of my friends came over and wanted to go roller skating because, I used to work at a roller rink I mentioned in this thing. And some of the friends that either worked there or went there a lot were at the party. So Saturday we had a few of us put on our roller skates and went around the neighborhood and had a great time. We also played Name That Tune. We just rolled through our iPhone or iPod playlists, picking things out. And then between that and the baseball game, Donna and I opened up our presents, and very generous people. Thank you very much. Oh, man. We had even said, no presents, we just request your presence. And the spelling was, of course, correct, but people got us stuff anyway. So, feel very, very blessed, and I'm a little tired after a long weekend. It's a great time. Sunday morning church. A few of us went to church, and Mark, my best man, longtime friend, we were not allowed to sit together because we can't. We're like 2 8-year-old boys. Everything just gets too silly. So we had a good time anyway. We said volumes just by exchanging glances. Our pastor, one of our pastors, had just come back from a 3-month sabbatical, and his staff had done kind of silly. On Tuesday, they have their staff meeting and review the bulletin for the upcoming week, and the staff had put in silly things like a bridal shower announcement for his mother. Or Wednesday will be a staff retreat on how to avoid violence in the workplace. Just crazy stuff like that. And it was funny. And Mark and I just look at each other and exchange a glance because we knew there was a common joke in there that he used to love to tell. That was all about mistakes in the church bulletin. And we couldn't help but laughing. I mean, I was almost to tears a couple times in church, not from the humor, but just realizing that, I won't see some of these people for quite a long time. And I hope it's, sooner than I expect, but I know that it could be quite a while between, visits to these people who live all over the country. They're busy, I'm busy, and I just feel so overwhelmingly honored that they came to be part of our celebration. There were a number of people who couldn't make it, and we miss them dearly. And I hope that we have the chance to see them soon. So, on with the Silicon Road. I told you this is a 2-for-1. Enough of the mushy stuff. I think I'm in the late 90s. I was starting to take on larger projects at work. And in 1997, I think we set up our first Greenfield office in Raleigh, North Carolina, an engineering design center. It was kind of the first time anybody had done something. My boss had taken the lead on organizing that. What kind of IT equipment do you need? Do you need a printer? Do you need a server? Do you need internet connection? Blah, blah, blah. All of this stuff. And it was a rough start. I think it was probably 2 months before they were fully online and felt connected to the home office. And we were syncing data and all kinds of things. We learned a lot on that one. Then in 1999, we did it again in Boulder, Colorado. This was my project. And past history, I think we also had an acquisition somewhere in there as well, and that was rough. So we had a not so good of a track record with getting new offices online and connected. So when it came to Boulder and my project, I wanted to make sure that it was done right and got all the equipment, shipped it out there, and I was on my way out the Friday night, because I was going to be there Saturday to get the office up and running. I was on my way out Friday night, and the CEO caught me in the parking lot. And I think at the time he was the VP of engineering. And he said, "What do you think our odds are of getting this thing up and running by Monday?" And I said, 100%. With confidence, I said that. I wasn't joking. I said that. And we had a few sticky situations over the weekend, least of which was me missing my flight. I was out playing golf Saturday and thought it was leaving at 4:30 p.m. It actually left at like 2:45 because I got the flight number mixed up with the departure time. So caught a flight, got out there late, worked Sunday to get the office up and running, and Monday we were online. We were good to go. So felt very, very good about how that turned out, and that was a nice feather in the cap. Yeah, there were still some things to work out afterwards, but in terms of connectivity, the provisioning of the T1 line, the voice connectivity, all of that stuff worked. It just worked, and I was very happy about that. Then about a year and a half later, we were starting up a new local manufacturing office. They'd kind of spun off a new subsidiary of there was engineering and manufacturing, and this was sort of early manufacturing. They called it new product introduction, and wanted to start an office here in Appleton. It was like I don't know how many square feet, but it was much smaller than our normal manufacturing buildings. And they needed someone to lead that up. So I went from engineering to manufacturing, or I guess I eventually did work in all branches of the company, because I worked at the corporate level too. There's not too many people that can say that. So I did the same kind of thing. Get the servers, get the printers, find out what the requirements are, explain what the budget is, you know, what we're going to need. And of course, everybody wants to cut back on what we need. Hey, I think we need, you know, 300 to 500 gigabytes worth of storage. Oh, no, I think we can do with 200. Okay, you can do with 200, but you're going to need another server in 2 years. Do you understand what that means? Yeah, we understand what that means. You know, and then 2 years later, they go, why didn't you tell us we're running out of storage? You know, I'm so glad I don't have to play that game anymore. I don't miss that at all. And I love putting projects together, but I just didn't like the backlash of and playing I Told You So. That bothered me. Always bothered me. I liked being innovative. I liked exploring technologies. I liked creating solutions, but I didn't like the day-to-day ticketing. Please go fix this person's printer or get these 10 laptops set up for this department. It was great training and it was great early career stuff, but after about 13-15 years, that starts to get old, and I still had another 10 years to go of this, so about 8 years of that stuff. It was starting to wear on me, and then I'll tell you what happened after that in the next episode or two. But the small manufacturing building, I worked there for about 6 months because we just had two guys come on staff, and they were expected to be the IT support, and I was to be the IT lead in this facility. So it was a good leadership opportunity to train them and lead them. But after about 6 months, it really started to veer off course of what my original charter was there, you know, to train these people up, to run that facility. Even from the get-go, they said, Chuck, here's your office. Hey, nice office adjacent to the server room. Beautiful facility. It had like 6-panel wood doors on some of these offices. Then at the last minute, no. We're putting the IT people downstairs, kind of hidden away. All three people with makeshift cubes. Like, what the heck, man? Not that it was false advertising, but it was not what it was intended to be. And then the job function changed too. Like I said, it wasn't more so much a leadership position. It was we started to get the ERP system in, and before I knew it, I was one of the early ERP administrators. And again, it was good experience. It was good to learn large scale platforms like that, which comes in handy now. I have some of that background for that. No regrets about learning stuff there. But again, when you're up for one job and then suddenly you find yourself working late hours replacing 3Com network drivers on 150 machines, going, what happened here? I'm willing to do whatever it takes. But there's got to be some goal, some objective, some vision of what you're doing. And even today, I recognize that we're growing fast and things change quickly. You got to kind of get comfortable with being uncomfortable, as our CEO likes to say. He said that in like his introductory meeting when we hired him a couple of years ago. And I'm okay with that. As long as that's described up front. But it wasn't back then. And I felt like the leadership didn't know what was going on. And I wasn't given the authority or the latitude or something to drive that. Now, maybe I misunderstood something at some point. But that's always a possibility. But anytime I came up with a recommendation or something, it just felt like so politically heavy. Whereas now, if I come up with an idea or a description or a direction or a project, it's like, hey, yeah, go take care of that. Figure out what that means. And, we'll get back to you. So I feel like I'm in a more mature and agile organization than I was before. Even though the other company had been around 20 years or so by that point, and And this organization that I'm in right now is about 10 years old. So, I mean, it's an interesting comparison and contrast. So anyway, that was just a couple of the larger projects that I had. Next time, I am going to do a podcasting sidebar of how podcasting influenced, became an interest and influenced, you know, where I am, how it became part of what I do and an asset to my portfolio of technical skills and even non-technical skills. Excuse me. So I have rambled on for 15 minutes. These things seem to be getting longer, but you got two for one in this 15 minutes. I'll talk to you again real soon. Till next time, you can find me at chuckchat.com for the podcast, chucktomasi.com for my personal stuff. And I look forward to seeing a whole bunch of you at Dragon Con. You are going to shake the blues of this weekend away. You know, with the waning of this weekend, the only thing that's keeping me going right now is looking forward and the fear that I'm not ready for Dragon Con, because I got 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, to get everything in order, because the flight leaves Thursday, and Lisa and I got to be ready and be on that plane. So I'll see you soon. Thanks. 101.